I'm going to start to read at 1 John 4, verse number 7, and I'm going to conclude my reading at the third verse of the fifth chapter, and the reason I do that I'll mention in a moment. 1 John 4, starting to read at verse 7 and concluding at verse 3 of chapter 5. Mm-hmm. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us, and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in him, and he in us, because he hath given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believe the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him, because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And I'll end the reading there. In the message I preached last Sunday afternoon, I made two statements because of what some might say, I have a biblically warped mind. But I would say my Bible illuminated mind.
Amen.
I say these two things because I believe the scriptures clearly show these two things. The first is that I am convinced. I'm convinced of the awesome power and the awesome presence of the living, true, and only God of the scriptures, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit in the world today. Despite the challenging times he has decreed for you to be going through, times that could easily get more difficult as men continue to show that they are more interested in listening to the devil rather than God, apart from the sovereign mercy and grace of God. But that testifies to the truth of my second statement, which I'll mention in a moment. But why am I convinced of this first, the presence of the power of the God of the Scriptures, of the Holy Bible in the world today? Why am I convinced of this? Because of the number of people from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, to borrow from one of the verses I hope to open up to your edification and instruction later today. But I believe this because of the number of people from all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, the number of people known only to this living, true, and only God who desire today, even as I speak to you today, who personally want to read, who personally want to study, who personally want to meditate on, and who personally want to believe, and yes, want to hear God's unique and only word to men in the 21st century, the Holy Bible, preached on publicly. The very fact that there are fellowships of saints gathered this morning wanting to hear the word of God preached, wanting to hear it read, wanting to believe what they hear, want to meditate on, want to apply it. Friends, that's testimony to the power and the presence of the living, true, and only God in the world today. And the verse I quoted last Sunday afternoon testifies to this truth. 1 Thessalonians 2:13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when you received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men, but as it is in truth, the word of God, which effectually worketh also in you that believe. But the second statement that I made, that I believe proves something, namely the presence and temporary power of the devil in the world today, despite the number who would mock and ridicule me for making such an unbelievable statement in our technologically addicted and pseudo-advanced society. But why do I believe in the presence and temporary power of the biblical devil in the world today? Now, why do I say temporary power of the devil? Because the day is coming when those who have died believing this lie will have to face forever the folly of having foolishly believed it. But why do I believe in the temporary power and presence of the Father of lies, the devil in the world today? Because of the number of people from all nations, kindreds, people and tongues, again a number known only to God, who have no desire.
Right.
Who have no desire or personal interest to read, hear, believe the Word of God. Mm-hmm. Friends, I don't need to see someone murder someone to know the devil's active in the world. As sobering as that would be, is a manifestation of the murder, the devil who was the murderer from the beginning. Mm-hmm. But friends, the fact that you are surrounded by people you know, loved ones you know, who have no desire to read the Bible, no desire to meditate on it, no desire to believe it, no desire to apply it. And there are some in this lost number of souls who are actively opposed to anyone publicly reading, hearing, or believing what the Word of God clearly teaches. That the biblical Lord Jesus Christ is this fallen world's only hope. And that's true in America today, friends. For how many in America and in the churches in America honestly believe and confess this today?
Right.
I hope you are one such true believer who would unashamedly confess this truth if asked. Because this is a clear and repeated teaching of the Bible from Genesis to Revelation. A truth believers understand and are filled with praise and thanksgiving to God for believing it.
Amen.
Especially because of the section I return you to in John's first gospel. His first general letter, chapter 4, having reached verse 16. Now I want to try and open up this verse and the truth it declares. Not an easy task. Because of the awesome truth it contains and teaches on. But I want to introduce this verse by asking you a question. And this was the reason why I read this particular section that I did to open this time of looking at the Scriptures. What has been the focus of this inspired apostle, the Apostle John, in this section of this letter? Going back to verse 7 of this fourth chapter and continuing on until verse 3 of chapter 5. Now, if you know this section and if you were listening to it as I read it and as I tried to seek to open it up, hopefully to your benefit and the glory of God, I don't think it would be hard for you to tell me if I was to ask you to give me one word that is the focus of this section. What's one word that summarizes the focus of 1 John 4:7 through to 1 John 5:3? What one word would you give me? Love. Amen. Love is that one word. He's focused on this truth in this section. But not just love in the define it any way that makes the sinful, unredeemed soul of man feel good about itself. As so many unbiblical love songs continue to do. Because friends, you can listen to a song you learned when you were a child growing up at home. Your parents may have played it, had a tape going, had a record going. Some song by Dean Martin or whomever, Frank Sinatra or whatever. And if I was to play that song for you, you could remember it. And you'd say, oh, I remember when Mom and Dad used to play that. But it would make no reference to the love of God and no reference to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And people would feel good. They'd dance around the room and everything else. So many unbiblical love songs. John has been teaching on one of the most soul-satisfying truths of Scripture. When correctly understood and believed, the love of God for sinners in and through the Lord Jesus Christ alone. Yet, as I've said, as we've gone through this section, how many of the multi-billion uses of the word love on the internet would have at the beginning or the ending of their use of the word love the statement that a right, that a correct, that a true understanding of the word love requires both the God of the Scriptures and the cross of Christ scripturally understood and defined for a correct understanding of the word love.
Exactly.
Because remember, John uses the word love as a verb 72 of the 142 times it's used as a verb in the New Testament. And he uses love in its noun form 30 of the 116 times that it's found in the New Testament. So you would think if you're going to have a correct understanding of the word love, you better listen to John. For stop and consider the importance of this section of John's first letter for a correct understanding of love of God and of the cross of Christ. If you were shipwrecked on a desert island, and the only section of the Bible that survived the storm that landed you on this deserted island was this section of John's first letter from verse 7 of chapter 4 to the third verse of chapter 5. What truths, what glorious truths would you be able to meditate on and praise God for? The truth that God is love. And that he displayed this love by sending his only begotten Son into the sin-cursed and dying world to be the propitiation for the sins of those believing alone on him for acceptance with God. But how many with the whole Bible show that the devil is still blinding their minds to the truth of the amazing love of God displayed to believing sinners through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ? For a variety of foolish and dangerous reasons. I will give you two. First, because they think that putting the words love and God together is not possible. Because of all the truly wicked things man has done, is doing, and will continue to do, unless he comes with a sovereign and amazing free grace of God to be filled with the awe true believers are filled with, when they read how Paul writes about the amazing love for God and for sinners, even as John does in Romans 5:8, but God commended this love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. But how many have foolishly and dangerously used the horrendously evil things that man has done, is doing, and continuing to do against one another to justify their unbelief in the love of God?
Right.
Even what we heard a few moments ago from Arthur. How can you believe in the love of God when you read Fox's Book of Martyrs? But friends, where did sinner man display his greatest act of hate and of evil? In crucifying the Son of God. Yet where man displayed his greatest hate, his greatest evil, the greatest demonstration of the love of God that this universe and all that is in it will ever see was displayed.
Amen. Amen.
But second, because sin has made man so horrendously unbalanced, not only do you hear unbelieving men reject the truth of the love of God clearly and repeatedly declared in this section, but on the opposite end of the unbelief scale, you have dangerous false teachers who talk about the love of God without any reference to or belief in the cross of Christ and what he did there for believing sinners. How many lost Unitarians will talk about the love of God?
Right.
And yet they don't have a single hymn in their Christ-denying hymn books testifying to the truth of the love of God through Christ Jesus our Lord and the precious blood He shed on His cross. Dare I call it a Santa Claus view of the love of God. A Santa Claus view of the love of God, where it doesn't matter what a person has done, is doing, or plans to do, or what he believes or does not believe about the death of Christ on his cross. God loves them anyway. Totally negating and denying the amazing love of God shown for believing sinners in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. And how many show this Christless and crossless, unbiblical love by saying at the funeral of someone who gave no credible evidence of ever having biblically believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're not suffering now. Right? They've gone to the great golf course in the sky or whatever else they served in this world,
yeah,
and never once were filled with awe and wonder that God, in the person of His Son, would love a sinner. And friends, I don't believe that person says that for the benefit of the one who has died, but they say it to continue to deceive their own sin-loving dead hearts.
Right. Yeah.
Because if their hearts weren't dead in trespasses and sins, they'd want the gospel of Christ preached.
Amen.
At every single funeral on the face of the earth.
That's right. Amen.
Believer, you need this section of John's letter to keep you from being deceived or cast down by these two opposite but equally dangerous errors. The presence of the horrendously evil and wicked ways man can manifest his hate for God, for both God and himself and his fellow man, does not make the truth of the love of God a myth and a fairy tale. Because as I said, where was the greatest display of man's hatred for both God and his fellow man displayed for the world of dying men to be seen? Not only by men, but the unseen world of angels, both fallen and unfallen. It's seen in the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. But through this greatest display of true hate-filled hearts of men for both God and man, what do those who see the cross correctly and biblically see it as? The greatest display of the biblical God's love for those believing that it is. Verse 10, herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. When someone for whom Christ died comes to see and believe the purpose of the cross of Christ, believer, you do not leave the cross of Christ out of your understanding of the word love. You can't. Your life's been transformed. Your mind's been transformed. Your understanding of this wonderful word has been correctly defined by the Spirit of God.
Amen.
You see, believers don't use this hate-filled world to deny the love of God, and believers don't treat the love of God as some form of syrupy sentimentality. Boys will be boys, but God loves us anyway. No. Believers come to believe and confess that the only way that the God who is love could have manifested and displayed and did manifest and display His amazing love for a sinner like you, believer, was by sending His only begotten Son into the world to die that penal substitutionary death He alone could have died on His cross for His sinful people, because no one is naturally born into this world believing in the amazing love of God for sinners through the cross of Christ.
Right.
And no one has a correct understanding of the amazing love of God for sinners unless it's centered in the cross of Christ. When hymn writers write, amazing love, how can it be that Thou, my God, should die for me? When hymn writers write, I stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene and wonder how He could love me, A sinner, condemned, unclean. Friends, they're not waxing poetic. They are reflecting the truth that the cross of Christ is the only place where love and the love of God for sinners can be and is correctly understood. Because what does John write at the beginning of verse 16? And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Now the challenge, as well as the awesome blessing, is to remember that the words known and believed are both plural perfect active verbs. John is not referring to something known and believed, but is no longer known and believed. He is referring to a present state of believing and knowing resulting from a past action of believing and knowing. Believer, you did not come into this world believing in the amazing love of God for you. You may have even used the things you were going through to question the very existence of the God who is love, using those things to doubt and deny it. How can Christians dare talk and sing about the love of God in light of what I have gone through, am going through, or am about to go through, as they are filled with fear over something that those who are displaying the true hate-filled nature of their hearts want them to be afraid of, until they can deceive them into thinking that the only way that they can display love for themselves and love for their fellow men is by taking a toxic vaccine that they're brewing? How can Christians believe in the God you say is love in light of things like viruses? How? Because we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. Mm-hmm. Where and how? Where and how? In the cross of His only begotten Son. Listen to what John writes back in John. Now I could quote John 3:16, although I will later, although this well-known verse could easily be quoted, but earlier in this first letter, where John uses the word known again in exactly the same way as here, perfect active plural verb, where the word is translated as know but perceive, 1 John 3:16. Okay? If you ever say, well, is there any, gee, I can, John 3:16, 1 John 3:16. Hereby perceive we, hereby know we. See? Hereby we come to know. And once you've come to know it, you can't unknow it. You can't stop knowing it. You can't stop believing it. You're filled with wonder and awe at the reality of it. Hereby perceive we, hereby know we the love of God. How do you know it, believer? How do you perceive the amazing love of God for you, believer? How many show that they do not know or believe the love of God for sinners by the terrible ease with which they can afflict, oppress, persecute, and even kill others, especially those who confess to being Christians? The Jesuits are demonic, friends.
That's right.
They're in the service of the devil.
Right.
When they go around and do the things we heard of a few moments ago from Fox's Book of Martyrs. John is describing again the life-changing, dare I say, new life-giving gift of God. When God, the Holy Spirit, takes away unbelief in the truth of the love of God for sinners displayed in the cross of His beloved Son and grants reborn sinners the gift of faith to believe it and have no hesitation in saying that God is love because of the cross of Christ. And I simply ask you, do you? True saving faith is not believing the lie that God loves everyone, because that is the deceptive mantra of the devil that so many have heard. Smile, God loves you, and Jesus died for all your sins, therefore you're safe regardless of what you think, say, do, or believe. No, when a believer is given new life in Christ, when a true believer is regenerated, is born again by the Holy Spirit, you know, believer, you understand and believe the truth of the love of God, that the love God has for sinners through the cross of Christ in a way you were both unable and unwilling to see or believe before. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Instead of seeing, instead of believing in the finished work of Christ on his cross for sinners as the last thing you needed or wanted to believe, it became the truth of truths. It became the truth of truths that fills you with wonder, awe, and everlasting thanksgiving to God. That while I was a sinner in thought, that while I was a sinner in word, that while I was a sinner indeed, Christ died for such a wretched, hell-deserving sinner as me. God is love. God is love. Who knows how many songs and poems have been written using the word love, yet they never mention the truth that God is love. And he's displayed the truth of that love for lost believing sinners by sending his only begotten Son into this hate-filled world to die so that he could love those Christ died for. With an everlasting love that nothing can change. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Stop and ask yourself this question. What has enabled believers throughout time to endure the horrendously wicked and evil things that they have faced, are facing, and may yet face at the hands of those who hate both God and man? Abiding, dwelling, remaining in the truth of the love God has for them because of Christ dying for them. It's finished. Nothing can change the amazing love that God has for me in Christ. Nothing. Truth Paul declares so powerfully in Romans 8. Those well-known verses in Romans 8, started to read at verse 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I'm persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. How could these people that we've been reading about, they went to the flames singing? Why? Because they knew that that death could not separate them from the love of God through Christ Jesus their Lord. That was just the hot door they had to go through, dare I put it that way, to enter into the everlasting presence of the God who loved them in Christ.
Amen.
You personally know and believe the purpose of God sending his only begotten Son into this sin-cursed world to display his amazing love towards those unable to understand and believe the purpose of the cross of Christ. There is only one reason for it. The amazing love of God for you. That has enabled you to see and believe the purpose of the cross of Christ. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. The amazing love of God enables someone for whom Christ died to believe the truth of the cross of Christ. Why was I made to hear thy voice and enter while there's room, where thousands make a wretched choice and rather starve than come? 'Twas that same love that spread the feast, that sweetly drew me in. I would still have refused to taste and perished in my sin. The amazing love of God for you that has enabled you to see and believe the purpose of the cross of Christ. I believe in the presence of God in the world. I believe the God who is in this world is the God of love. Why? Because there are true believers who know and believe the love that God has for them through the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. God is love, believer. Because if it wasn't for that amazing love, you would not believe the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
Every true confessing believer in Christ is testimony to the presence of the God who is love in the world today. Do you know the blessing of such a testimony? Then you know the blessing of dwelling in the God of love now, and you will know it forever. What will the new heavens and the new earth be like for the joy and the praise and the thanksgiving and the everlasting love lifted up to God, as everyone there will know and know forever that they are there solely because of the amazing love that God had, has, and forever will have for them because of Christ alone. Hallelujah to the love of God in Christ Jesus, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen.
And amen. Let us pray. O Lord our God, to even say those words, O Lord our God, is a testimony of your amazing grace. Because without that grace and love and mercy, we would not confess you as our God. How we thank you for who you are. Because without that truth, we have no hope. But in the truth that you are the God who has manifested your love to sinners through your Son, the Lord Jesus, give us the grace to keep our eyes on this truth, even in these days where so much hate towards you and towards man is being manifested. Give us the grace to keep our eyes on the love that you have for us in the finished work of Christ. And we will be able to make that good confession. Help us by your grace and your love in these days. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.